Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo, Gold Coast, thank you for joining us on the podcast. Coming up on today's show, we'll arc up your calls for Wednesday Whinge. There was a young fella, 12 years of age, at one of our schools here on the coast. He had a horrific injury at school today involving a javelin and his Jats crackers. You can hear about that, and we'll take your calls on how your kid came home from school. Mayor Tom Tate joins us. We've got some Bernard Tomic goss for you, and Rob Mulholk joins us as well, which I know doesn't sound overly exciting, but it's to do with the Mexican Hoon Cartel, who are wreaking havoc on political placards across our city. What did they do to Rob's placards, and why are they targeting him? We'll get into that and a whole heap more. You can hear it for yourself if you listen to this. It's The Catch Up. It's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Because it feels good to let it out. It's the Rush Hour's Wednesday Whinge.
Okay, let's do it, Gold Coast. 13 27 10 is our number. This, you know how it works. You get on the phone, you whinge about anything, big or small, whatever you want to get off your chest. Whoever has got the best whinge for us this afternoon, we have a really cool prize for you. Tell you about it coming up next. But hit the phones, 13 27 10. Wednesday Whinge. What do you want to whinge about? I can't tell you what I'm going to whinge about. I'm going to give it to the music department here at Triple M. Actually, not even the music department, more just to the Gold Coast because they voted for it. But, you know, we've been doing the Aussie Goat. We've been trying to find the greatest Aussie artist of all time. Today, we had an absolute pearler. In at number three, have a listen to these boys. I mean, Aka Daka, they came in at number three. Now, my only problem with that, who beat them? Fair dinkum. If these aren't the greatest Aussie artists of all time, Aka Daka, who is? And we've got two ahead of them. How good is this, mate? You seriously want to tell me they're not the greatest Aussie artists of all time? The only one I can think is maybe you could state a case that they're a better Aussie artist is Cold Chisel. And we haven't played Cold Chisel yet, but that's only one artist. We're saying, well, the Gold Coast is saying there's two greater than AC/DC. You joking? 13-27-10, Wednesday Whinge. The other one I want to whinge about is Warnie's boy, Jackson. He's on this new SAS show, and I honestly feel a bit sorry for him because he must have led an incredibly sheltered life. As part of this SAS show, he revealed that in his entire 21 years on this planet, he's only ever eaten 10 foods, corn chips being one of them, regular chips being another, baked beans, obviously, was one of them, but he's never even tried beer, which surprised me. Being Warnie's son, I thought he would have been bottle-fed that from a youngster, but he hasn't. Warnie's son has never tried beer. He's never really, tried to test his horizons. And now, because everyone's sort of up in arms about it, everyone's like, how could you not have tried so many different foods? He's sampling different foods for the first time. Here he is trying watermelon for the first time as a 21-year-old.
Just tastes like water. Tastes like water.
So he tried watermelon for the first time as a 21-year-old. He last night, at 21 years of age, tried beer for the first time ever. Go.
I've actually never had a beer either. Who would have thought? And there's no beer better to taste than Corona, because obviously everything going on.
How would you
and
know?
Dan's also said get on the beers. That actually tastes pretty good. Hang on. I don't know. Wait. Not bad.
And when he drank the beer as well, he did that bogan move where he put his lips right over the bottle. It was kind of gross to watch. But I feel sorry for him, mate. I honestly put that down to a parental issue. You got to get into your kids earlier than that and get them to expand their horizons, you know, really. I mean, 21 years of age, he's tried 10 foods. Anyway, that's my Wednesday whinge. What do you want to get off your chest? Let's go to Wayne from Burley Heads. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Good, good. Just wondering if you can have a whinge about the luxury car tax that we're still paying in Australia.
Are we? Wouldn't know. I haven't got a luxury car, mate. I'm a Ford Ranger.
You may have a luxury car and you don't even know it. It just goes on the value of the car. Now, they brought the tax in order to protect the Australian car industry when we were manufacturing cars. Obviously, we're not now, and we're still paying a tax for a market that no longer exists.
Oh, I see. So we bought in a tax so that our Aussie car manufacturers could be competitive. Now, we haven't got any Aussie car manufacturers, but we're still paying the tax. That seems like a rort. Seems like
it is. 33%.
So in other words, if we lived in another country, our cars would be 33% cheaper.
In fact, so I'll give you just a perfect example. So let's say you bought a Land Cruiser or something like that. Let's say, or say a Range Rover, say it was 150 grand.
Yep.
Right? Must be nice. I know. But 150 grand, you're looking at luxury car tax on that at about 25 grand.
Yeah, that's a joke, mate. That's a joke. We need to get... I think the same thing's happening with our outboard motors. Don't quote me on it, but I'll tell you what, you go to the United States and outboard motors, I know a bit about boating, and they are so much cheaper than what we've got here in Australia. It's a joke. Wayne, good whinge, mate. Thanks for your call. Anthony from Benowa, before we get to your whinge, mate, how's the storm in that neck of the woods? Have you got clear skies or are you still copping it?
I'm in Benowa and it seems like in the eye of the storm right now, so everything's safe
for me. Right, okay. I got roughly half of that.
It's patchy, mate, so it's not too bad.
What do you want to whinge about, mate?
Up,
mate. There's nothing. I'm going to translate for Anthony from Benowa because he's got a horrendous phone connection, but he's whinging about school pickups and the fact that it is a traffic jam. It's that's every school on the Gold Coast. Now, my little girl used to go to school here in Southport, and they tried every different means. This year, we're going to do it this way. Oh, that didn't work. Now we're going to try it this way. That didn't work. It never works. It's just horrendous. Let's go to Kirsten from Mudrabar. How are you, Kirsten?
Hi. Good, thanks, Luke. How are you going? I love your show. You do a great job.
I like your voice. You got good energy about you.
Thank you. I'm a good actress.
Hey, so in Mudrabar, before we get to your whinge, what's happened with the storm? Did you guys cop anything at all?
Not really. Just for a minute, I just went to pick my son up from the bus stop and we went to the doctors and come out and it's all sunny out here again.
It's already passed over.
There's a
second wave coming our way, so we'll keep you up to date with that, but we've got a reprieve for the next hour or so. What did you want to whinge about anyway, Kirsten?
I feel a bit silly, but to the tool the other day at the supermarket in Woolworths, just put some deodorant on it. It just, I couldn't even think what I needed in the shop because it was just like, are you right? It was just, and it just seemed to trail me around the supermarket. But to anyone who, to anyone who doesn't wear deodorant and has bad BO, it's not a good look. You're not, you know, it's feral, and it was just... Ugh.
But the people that have got bad BO, it's like they can't smell it.
No, that's exactly right.
They don't
otherwise you wouldn't go out like that.
Yeah, just put on deodorant. Everybody put on deodorant, because if you don't, then you upset people like Kirsten, and I can tell Kirsten's a nice person.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
So a weird story doing the rounds this afternoon is about one of our schools here on the Gold Coast. A 12-year-old kid has had a very peculiar injury sustained on the sporting track. Wolfie, Brendan Wolf from Nine Gold Coast News joining us right now. G'day, mate. How are you?
G'day, Luke.
What's the story, mate? Tell us about this poor kid.
Yeah, poor lad. He was at school today. We understand he was taking part in a PE class and there was a javelin. Possibly lying on the ground. I'm told he might have been trying to sort of tread on the other end and flick it up. But as I said, the poor lad has impaled himself in the groin region. So I know that's bringing a bit of a tear to the eye of a few male listeners. But it's he's in hospital as we speak, and hopefully we'll make a full recovery.
He's okay though, Wolfie, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm told that there wasn't a great deal of blood loss. Paramedics said he was in good spirits while they removed the tip of that javelin. I find that a little bit hard to believe.
Hang on, mate. Everyone in the studio just passed out. Give us a moment. The poor kid. I mean, just what Wolfie said there. Well, they pulled out the tip of the javelin in his groin. This poor kid, he's like 12 years old. Wolfie, is that right?
Yeah, so he's not even a teenager yet, and he's already got his first piercing down in that part of the body. But he's, I'm told he's okay, and that is the good news.
Thanks, Wolfie. You know who I'm feeling for, mate, is the parents. Imagine copping that phone call. Excuse me, Mrs. Jones. We've just an update on Freddie at school. How'd he go in his English exam? Well, it's not about his English exam. We've pulled a javelin out of his groin this afternoon. That's got to be a tough phone call to take. I mean, fair dinkum. You got a boy, Wolfie. You got a young fella, little Lincoln. Imagine copping that phone call a couple of years from now, mate. The young Lincoln's got a javelin in the groin.
I can't say that I've ever contemplated this sort of phone call coming in, but I'm sure the parents, I don't know, I'm just wondering if Dad might even be having a bit of a laugh to himself.
No, I don't think he would be. I reckon he's crying. He's crying, mate. Every dude on the Gold Coast listening to this has got a tear in their eye at the moment. Hey, Wolfie, we'll see the story tonight on Nine News, mate. Thanks for your report, mate. We appreciate it.
So good stuff.
There he goes. I tell you what we've got to do. We've got to open the phones up right now. I'm saying that could possibly be the hardest injury that any kid's ever sustained or brought home from school. If you want to challenge us, let's arc up the phones right now. 132710 is our number. What did your kid come home from school with? Little kid here that Wolfie's just told us about, he's come home with a javelin in his groin. Oh my God, the poor kid. What did your, has anyone got something better for us? Aaron from Currumbin, go ahead, mate. What happened?
Yeah, when I was a younger fella in primary school, one of my mates was on the balance beams, one of those old wooden balance beams that we used to have at school.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Yep. Yeah, he slid. One leg went one side, one leg went the other. And, he split his tater.
Oh, mate, okay. Bad idea. Never doing this segment again, ever. Jan from Narang, go ahead.
Hi, my son was 14. He was at school chasing somebody. The kid he was chasing flicked the glass door back in his face to stop him. He put his hand out to stop the door. No, it shattered and ripped his arm open from his wrist to his elbow.
What was I thinking? I can't handle this segment. I'm too much of a pussy to do this segment. I'm not taking any more calls. I can't do it. Okay, I'm getting told I have to. Okay. Go ahead, Brad. You're on the air.
Hey.
Go ahead, mate. What happened?
How you going? Yeah, good.
How am I going? Well, I'm about to pass out, mate. I'm such a pussy. I can't even handle the stories, let alone the injuries that our kids have been sustaining over the years. What's your story?
Well, we were sitting at home. Oh, my daughter was probably about 7 at the time, and we got a phone call from the school. You know, come and pick her up. She's throwing up quite violently. So I rushed down to the school thinking, oh, you know, like she's done something or she's eaten something she shouldn't have. And it just turns out that she stepped in and got dog crap.
And that's why she was throwing up?
And that's why she was throwing up violently.
I would too. you take one more? Oh, you're joking. Rob from Runaway Bay. Go ahead, mate. You're at the final word. I'm not taking any more calls.
No worries. Yeah, so this one here happened to my brother when we were young kids. My mum owned a childcare centre.
Right.
And my brother and I used to pretend to be superheroes. So this afternoon we were pretending to be Spider-Man and we climbed the walls, and of course my brother was scared of nothing, so he looked down at me, and as he looks down he loses his grip and slips down the wall, but the wall had all the hooks where the kids just threw their back.
He hung himself up on the wall like a bloody school bag, I'm imagining. Far out. Never doing that segment again. I honestly cannot handle it. I'm too much of a pussy. I just can't even tolerate it. It's like I feel the pain as they tell the story.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Tom Tate joining us on the phone right now. G'day, Tom.
Oh, afternoon, Lloyd.
Hey, last time we spoke to you was just prior to the AFL Grand Final, and you were heading up there to the Gabba. How was it, mate?
Phenomenal. I think the entertainment was the best I ever had. My prediction is... history in the making. I reckon they'll be doing night games perhaps next final or more often in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree. We had Tony Cochrane on earlier in the week. He was saying the television viewing numbers went through the roof as well, and money's going to talk here. It sounds like that's the way it's going to be. Hey, just on that, the boys here at the radio station at Triple M, they just saw the Geelong guys downstairs. They're out and about. My mates at the gym this morning saw Richmond at the at Alfred's up at Mermaid Beach earlier in the week as well. So they're obviously out of the bubble, but they're still here on the Gold Coast. It's a they must like the joint, Tom.
Yeah, they do. My prediction there, Luke, is that their wives hasn't finished shopping yet, so I don't think they can leave.
Yeah, I reckon you're right. They're like, what do we want to rush getting back to Melbourne for? Let's stay here on the Gold Coast. Hey, what about these storms? So we had them around yesterday afternoon, and just looking at the radar there, they're going to hit us at some stage again this afternoon. What's the talk to us about the preparation that you've got to do from a council point of view as we head into storm season?
Absolutely. I mean, through the media, we've been doing a get ready campaign that's really about making sure our gutters and all that is clean. But from a citywide point of view, we've deployed, you know, any of those flooding roads that we can predict, and we'll have signage and all the remedies to recover it back as soon as possible. So we do preempt all of that. I did watch you on Luke's weather last night. You were drenched, mate.
My theory is, Tom, they're trying to kill me at Channel 9, because if ever there's a lightning storm, they go, Luke, go out here with this massive big steel pole and do your weather from out in the, you know. They try everything they can to kill me off, but it doesn't work, Tom.
Mate, you're a survivor. But I show you a funny thing. Yesterday, as the storm starting, the very first one must have been near our council chamber, because somebody stood up to address me and said, I'm Mr. Mayor. And then the minute they said that, the thunder went boom. I said, well, every time you mention my name, it's going to go off.
You know what was a sad day yesterday, Tom, just reminiscing on Cav's Steakhouse getting knocked down yesterday? It got they pulverised Cav's Steakhouse. That's a legendary Gold Coast joint. I mean, you've been here for a long, long time. And
yes,
we see iconic buildings like that. They're the sort of joints that, you know, that make the city as unique as what it is. And that must be sad to see something like that go.
Mate, it's a lot of wonderful memory and afternoon sessions with the boys. You know, you go there for a beautiful T-bone and you sit there a few beers, and before you know it, it's dinner time, you know. And that's all, they're the sort of memories we cherish. But progress comes along. Cav said they would be back there, bring back the cows at the front again, I reckon. And so at the very least, we have a connection to our past.
Hey, one final question before you go, because this guy, I reckon, is slipping under the radar. I thought he'd be way bigger news over the past couple of weeks than what he has been. He's barely rated a mention or been seen. But Tom Hanks is here on the coast somewhere. Nobody's spotting him, Tom. Have you had any inside word as to where Tom Hanks is, or if he's still here on the coast?
Mate, he's still on the coast, but they're flat out filming and long hours, at night filming as well. So I think they pack it in, and I don't think they got time really to get out. And
he's just working.
Once the filming finishes or Christmas break, he'll be out and about. You might see him running along the Spit and the Esplanade and all the way down to Coolangatta. Who knows?
Right. So he's just working hard is what he's doing.
It really is, yeah.
Hey, okay. And finally, I guess we should touch on the borders. If you're... I'm going to make you premier right now. You're not mayor of the Gold Coast any longer.
Right.
It's Premier Tate joining us. what are you doing with the borders? If you're the premier, are you opening them or leaving them the way they are?
Well, I would say, based on the medical advice, everyone get ready to open 1st of November.
Okay, 1st of November. Gee, I hope you're right, because that's going to be good for everyone over the Christmas period. We'll wait and see what happens. You're rarely wrong, though, Mayor, I've got to say.
Mate, but this time round, it might just be slightly delayed, since Peter Beattie came out wanting it to open at 1st of November. Just to get him wrong, it might be the 2nd.
Hey, good on you, Tom. Thanks for your time, mate. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Luke. Cheers, mate. Bye.
There he goes, the Mayor, Tom Tate. Did we just break a little bit of news there, 1st of November? I don't know if anyone else has heard that, but he told us about the last time they opened them up, and he was right with that. So 1st of November, that's not too far away. We'll wait and see if he's on the money, but you heard it here first.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Our producer Jeremy, he was on the professional tennis tour for about 6 years with Bernard Tomic as his strength coach, and he actually runs a gym at Bundle. What's your gym, mate?
Reebok CrossFit Gold Coast.
So you do CrossFit. And so what's the story, mate? Because we hear that on the grapevine, a very high-profile Gold Coaster got himself back into your gym today ahead of a prestigious Australian event, which is not too far away.
That's right, Mr. Bernard Tomic, back into the training paddock once again. Great to have him back, and good to get him started and ready, hopefully, to get that wild card into the Australian Open. Hopefully they're going to put it on in the end of January, and by all accounts, it's going to be the same as the French and the US Open, where they have no spectators but players only.
Is that what they're planning on at this stage?
That's the plan, even though Melbourne's just coming out of lockdown and all their restrictions. They are thinking of still running it but having no crowds.
So you get a phone call from Bernard, right? Is that right? Is that how this all broke down?
I got a text message over the weekend, yes.
And saying, look, mate, I've got to get myself in shape.
He said, I've had enough time off. The guys have sort of organised the Australian Open to go ahead.
Right.
They've got a wild card tournament up in Pat Rafter Arena up in Brisbane in November. He wins 4 games there. He gets direct entry straight into the Australian Open. So that's what we're planning for.
And so he gets back in the gym today for the first time in a long time. How was he, mate? Because you ran him through his paces, right?
Absolutely. It was a little bit of a lighter session just to ease him back into it. But he's looking in pretty good shape considering from where I had him as a 15, 16-year-old. He's bounced back pretty quick, so he's got a good base to start with.
This is the first time I've heard of Bernard being back out in the open around the Gold Coast here since maybe about 6-7 weeks ago. I think I sent you the photo. My fiance, she's at the Isla Capri shops, and she's sitting there waiting to go out and get a parking spot, and she sees this Maserati pull in, and I think it was a Maserati. It was one of those real flamboyant cars. And out pops Bernard Tomic from the Maserati with what she described as one of the hottest chicks you've ever seen in your life. And he was, so he's been gallivanting around, mate, the coast for the last couple of months, obviously, right?
Yes, he has. Vanessa actually joined us for the session this
morning
as well.
Oh, he brought the girlfriend.
Yeah, she came down as well and put her through her paces as well.
I bet you did, mate. And can I just say, now, Bernard Tomic is an easy target for a lot of people here on the Gold Coast, but I only know two people who actually know him, like who personally know him, you being one of them, and my mate Adzi, who I actually ran with this morning at the Main Beach Surf Club. And, mate, from the people that actually know Bernard Tomic, I know the armchair warriors sit in their lounge rooms and they say this and that about him, but from the people that I know who actually know him, I've never heard a bad word about the dude as a bloke. Apparently, you tell me, really good guy.
Great guy. I've got on with him very well. As a 15, 16-year-old, he was going through that 15, 16-year-old teenager thing anyway. Those years were fairly tough, but once he got into that sort of 18, 19 age, he's been a dream to work with. Ask him to do something, he'll go and do it.
Yep.
Like, obviously, when you're a high-profile sportsman, it doesn't matter what sport it is, you're a target for all the sort of armchair critics that sit there and say, hey, you could have done better or you could have done this or that, and they're happy to like slag you off, but they don't actually know the person. So
has he got eye of the tiger, mate? Does he really want this? He's coming back, he wants to get into the Australian Open, and he's got to take an unusual path. He's got to get a wild card entry, so some could say it's a long shot, but has he got eye of the tiger?
It's the same look in his eye in 2016 when he got through to the quarters in Wimbledon, and he's got that same look that he wants to go. He's 28, turned 28 last week. So he's not too old, but he's got that experience behind him now. He's had 12 years on the tour already.
Wow.
Which is crazy if you think about it. Think about when you were growing up.
Yeah.
Like, what were you doing at 14, 15? You weren't playing on the tennis tour, nor was I. But yeah, so that's been his upbringing. So he's got the experience now, and he knows what to do with his body. He's in great shape physically now. All those little niggling injuries have gone, so he's got the eye.
Well, mate, I wish him nothing but the best. I know he's got his critics, but I'm not one of them. This is a story of redemption, And I hope that he makes it back to the Australian Open. It would be a fantastic Gold Coast story. And he's in good hands. His producer, Jeremy, knows his stuff. So all the best to him, mate, and look after him.
Yeah, mate. Well, hopefully we can get him on, have a little bit of a chat to him
in
the coming weeks and just see how he's progressing.
I'd love that, mate. I would absolutely love that.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I was just looking at some footage on the Gold Coast Bulletin website of some mob called the Mexican Hoon Cartel, who apparently these people that are hoons, they go around burning around the streets of predominantly Mudjabar. But what they're doing is they're going and they're ripping down all the LNP candidate signs that are littered all around our city at the moment. And one that I saw where they went absolutely berserk on was Rob Mulhawks, who is my actual member. And he's down in Southport. We got him on the phone at the moment. G'day, Rob. How are you, mate?
Hey, Luke. I'm really well, thanks. How about you?
I'm better than your placards, I can tell you that much, mate. I mean, Mike Tyson doesn't beat things up as badly as your placard copped it.
Oh, look, it's all part of the rough and tumble of running for public office. I've had all sorts of things done to my signs over the years, but I have to say the Mexican Hoon Cartel have probably been the most creative.
What are they doing? Why do they hate you so much, and what are they doing with your placards?
Oh, well, I don't think they hate me. I think they're just trying to make a statement. No, look, nobody hates me. Hates is a very strong word.
Well, okay. They've got some gripe against you, that's for sure.
Yeah, look, they've had a go at a few of the signs. I've actually kept one of the better ones as a souvenir. I've got a wall opposite the bathroom in my electorate office, and I've got a bit of a collection of all my signs over the years, and I figured this one is actually worth keeping. So it'll take pride of place on the bathroom wall at some point the next couple of weeks after the election, hopefully, if everything goes well.
What happens to all of these placards? Because they're all around the city from, you know, every different party and every different candidate. So at the end of the election, win, lose or draw next Saturday, who goes picks them all up, and what do you do with them after you've collected them?
Well, I've got a couple of mates that you know regularly turn up and help me around election time, and they go on sign duty for the 4 weeks run up to the election, and they'll go out and replace ones that have been damaged. And
do they sit though for the next 4 years? Like, is it this? Like, do you put them in storage for 4 years until the next election, or do you have to get new placards for every election?
Oh no, look, I actually keep all mine because I'm into recycling,
right.
And so most of my signs this election were left over from the last time round,
right?
And I've just added an extra 20 large signs into the mix, but. No, I just keep them. You know, the ones that are damaged, obviously, we throw out. And the rest of them just go into a storeroom or down the back of the garage somewhere up against the wall, and just stack all the A-frames up in front of them and forget about them.
That's it. So this Hoon Cartel, I mean, who are these jobbers? What's their whole go?
Well, I don't really know a lot about them, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that, you know, there's a few young guys out there that are, obviously like cars and like, burning a bit of rubber. And they've obviously taken exception to some of the policy announcements we've made around anti-hooning if we're elected.
Right.
And they're just trying to make a bit of a statement.
All right. Okay. So they're against you guys because you're against hooning. Now I understand. Hey, can I tell the story? A couple of weeks ago, I go into my local Woolworths, which is the metro right next to Sundale, and there's Rob, and he's campaigning, and he's meeting, greeting, kissing babies, and all of that sort of stuff. And then you and I are having a chat. A lady comes up, and she says, "What party are you with?" And you, you remember this? And she goes, and you go, "I'm with the LNP." And she looks at you, and then she goes, "I'll be voting for you because I'm a big Bob Hawke fan." And you never corrected her. Hey, that's a different party.
Hey, mate, a vote's a vote. You know, in fact, I've actually got I've got blue tents,
right.
And then I've got some maroon tents with the parliamentary crest. And when there's certain parts of the electorate when I go out campaigning on a Saturday morning or I do my mobile office, I use the maroon tent.
Right.
because, you know, they're sort of slightly red. And then there's other parts of the electorate where I put the blue ones out because I know that, you know, there's a lot of love out there in some of those suburbs for the Blues.
Vote's a vote. I get it. Hey, all the best, mate. Thank you so much for your time, the Savo. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
Good on you. See you, Rob. There he goes.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.